2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Nightside.
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 This is the Nightside Project.
I may be super,
but I am no hero.
Nightside on KSL.
A limited edition summer season.
You realize, though, Alex, this is just temporary.
Yeah, I still took your parking space, and I'm not giving it back.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
All right, welcome to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard, here with Alex Carey. This is a limited edition spring, well, now summer season of the Nightside Project. Is it officially summer?
No.
I always remember what day is officially summer.
No, you know how we do it in media, though. We twist it. We take the facts of June 20th, June 21st of actual summer, and we've already made it summer on the Nightside Project.
We're the worst.
So. Well, it feels like it, though. In our defense is the lamestream media, Ethan. It's been really hot this week. So just
it's
school's
really
over. So you know, officially, so there you go.
Can I segue here?
Why not? It's your show just as much as it is mine.
You know who else was feeling the heat this week?
Who?
Morgan Scalley.
Yes. Specifically,
how about that for a segue?
That's a good
segue. So, Morgan Scalley, if you don't know, if you haven't heard about this, he is the defensive coordinator for the University of Utah football program. And men's football program.
Yes.
And he apparently used a terrible racial slur in a text message involving a recruit back in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And this has now been admitted. He's been suspended with pay. And what's interesting to me, Alex, is while this text message, a screenshot of the text conversation has been threatened to be put out on social media. As far as I could tell, it hasn't actually appeared yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything either. I will say I haven't really searched for it, but there.
I did. I searched for it.
There has been tale of those things like of. I've heard of the this is what the context is of it and everything and
the same person that originally threatened release who kind of kicked this all off. I was on their Twitter page. And they also said that there had been at the time some sort of, you know, of apology to the recruit and his parents at the time back in 2013. And all this appears to be completely new information to Coach Whittingham, right?
Yeah, and that's where there's already. I mean, first of all, I'm proud of you for knowing what a defensive coordinator was, and that this was.
I didn't say I knew what a defensive coordinator was.
On the men's football team, not the women's football team. But I just love how you're like, can I roll this story out? This sports story.
Well, you know, I like football.
I know you do.
Football is something that I've embraced over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years.
And certainly, you're the guy. And look, this is in our wheelhouse. This is something that's happening right now. And you know, when it came down, I saw. Here's how it happens. I get these emails from Paul Kirk, he's the associate athletic director for communications for the University of Utah. And he does an amazing job. And I just want to say right off the bat, the school has handled this amazingly.
You think it so? What did you like about
because
the way the school
it was immediately, it was just like, hey, this is what's going on, and here are the most important people you need to hear from right now. The athletic director, you know, short of the school president, you had the athletic director, you had the head coach, and you had the person who is, you know, the perpetrator, apparently, of sending these texts out.
Right,
now,
and it's not alleged. All this has been admitted. They're saying, yes, this really did happen.
Right, and so that's what I'm saying. You have all the people, and you have the school saying, we don't stand for this stuff. This is not what we're about. We're investigating this. We're suspending him right now. I think that there are a lot of, there's so much cynicism that floats around right now with this, which is where people go, oh, yeah, you just wait. They're just giving themselves some time to be able to come up with an excuse to keep him. The thing is there's a there's something about bringing in an outside, group to be able to analyze this thing for review on whether or not, one, this has been something that's happened before, or two, if this is something that warrants, like, the school's going to have to decide, is it worth keeping Morgan Scally with this now new baggage from 2013 on? And I will tell you, this is not a slight, this is not a small decision to make, Ethan, because in many circles,
it's impactful.
Morgan Scally is the heir apparent to the head coaching job at the University of Utah after Coach Whittingham leaves. I mean, so this is not just like a guy who kind of is just coming through town, is going to coach here for a little while, and it's easy to get rid of him. Because that happens sometimes where it's like,
that's right.
He hadn't even really coached here at Arkansas for 5 minutes, and he's not even from here. This guy played at Utah. Morgan Scally has a reputation here as being one of the most intense and loving and lovable kind of coaching figures. And so when this comes out, none of it has to – here's the thing, though. I don't want to make any of my comments seem like I'm defending the comment
at all.
I'm telling you right now.
This is how I understand it, yes.
Morgan Scally, every interaction I've ever had with him, and it's always been a media coach situation, right? But he is one of the ones that will look right at you. This is a guy who doesn't even – he turns off social media for the entire football season. Yeah. He's like, see you guys later. I'll see you in the fall.
Alex, I don't interpret any of your, comments as defending.
The school has a responsibility. If they were to fire Morgan Scally, I hope that they do it knowing exactly what they're doing and not feeling pressure for it. Just like I hope that they're not going to keep the job. I don't want them. I cannot wait to see what this review says, because I don't want him to keep his job for the wrong reason and to get fired for the wrong reason either. I want to make sure that it's all there and it's all in the up and up, because
they have to. It's a very public program.
But at the same time, we can be affected so much by the vitriol that goes on right now, and there is way more social pressure to act swiftly and quickly on these things. And I'm glad that they came out with the comments that they did very quickly. I think the school did an amazing job with it.
Well, I guess it's nice that they're getting out ahead of it, it seems like. But here's where I think they're going to have to look. Because the side issue of whether or not he really is in fact a racist, we don't have to look at that. Because I think from an employment situation, if I were Morgan Scally's manager, this is what I would see, okay? I would look at, among the other things, right? Aside from the slur itself, okay? Aside from that, in addition to that, okay? Because you can think whatever you want about, a slur from 8 years ago. In addition to that, under my employment, if I were his manager, he held extremely inappropriate communications with a potential student at the school, potential team member, who was maybe even at the time a minor. Extremely inappropriate. Not only that, it went to the point where an apology was even issued to a recruit and his parents. Back then, an apology was issued. He went that far. That happened, number one. And number two, that it was apparently kept from Coach Whittingham. That all of this happened without Coach Whittingham knowing.
I think that's interesting, that is a
problem, that it went that far and that actually happened and that Coach Whittingham was in the dark.
And you've already got people going, this is ultimately Coach Whittingham's program. This is a guy who is coaching, for him. This is a kind of an agent for him. And so this reflects on Coach Whittingham. Coach Witt in the same press release gave his thoughts on this. Any form of racist language is not only unethical or anti-ethical to our policies and our values, but is an affront to all of us, especially our African American community members.
Yeah,
and I get it. I here's the thing. This is such a hard deal. I'll tell you why too. Because Drew Brees this week. Here's why it's hard.
What makes it hard?
Because of how many feelings are hurt right now. Think of all the recruits that love him, have loved him over the years. African-American players that have played for him, who are sticking up for him, who are standing by him saying, no, I know this guy. I love this guy. He's never said or done anything, you know, to the contrary of anything that stands for what the university should stand for, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know how much he's learned from that 2013 incident. So I don't know what the deal is. We've got something on the air here.
Yeah, there's something else kind of coming through here. Well, Alex, I guess I see your point on that.
I'm just saying that when feelings are hurt right now, and then there are a lot of people who are trying to wrap their head around, including a lot of his African American players that have played for him, who are saying, "Look, we love this guy," and they should find out exactly what the circumstances were. I just want to know if he made progress back then, or if this is the first time that he's having to face any sort of real consequence,
and,
you know, social consequence.
Yeah, I don't know, and it's the university is going to go through the same process, I think, that Weber State did, right? And that is, all right, is this someone that we believe can represent the university? Is this someone that can do an effective and responsible job with the students that are entrusted to his care? These relationships are important, right? And these are the decisions that the university's got to make. And did this person behave in a way that we believe that he can be trusted moving forward? Because honestly, I think that a big part of this is not just the language that he used, not just the fact that he felt okay enough to express this to someone else, right? Not just in his own mind, not just in a dark moment in his own personal thoughts that he tamped down with a little hammer, that it came out of his mouth, that he expressed it openly to someone. And that it was also advanced to a point, there was some kind of dialogue about it. It included a parent, and none of that was run up the chain of command. I mean, in my mind, that is an additional problem. I think from a management perspective, you would have to see that as an additional problem. Now, is the fact that so much time has passed a big part of it? Well, I don't know how the university is going to see that.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Let's take a quick break here, Ethan. When we come back, I'm just going to ask you that question about all of this, about the same thing, you know, whether or not that this is the number one question that it gets asked is from 2013. Was that a while ago? Like, why are we talking about it now? Is the time thing an issue for you? Is the time thing an issue for people who are listening right now? 57500 is the text number. We'll come back. Plus, we have the NFL's commissioner making a stand in 2020 that he says they should have made a lot sooner. We'll have that audio for you next. Stay with us right here. The Nightside Project continues on KSL News Radio.
Nightside. 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 This is the Nightside Project.
Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened then?
We passed then.
When?
Just now.
We're it now, now.
Nightside on KSL. A limited edition summer season.
It is a little weird to be back here doing this.
Yeah, the weird part's me taking your temperature before each show.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
All right, welcome back to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Keery.
Hey, Ethan, before we get started here, I have some actual business here.
Okay.
In the form of the National Weather Service. This is an official National Weather Service. The National Weather Service has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for Salt Lake, Davis, Tooele, and Utah counties beginning at 6:06 p.m. and ending at 7:06 p.m. I guess that would have been, we're right in the middle of this here. So the National Weather Service issued a severe thunderstorm warning for Salt Lake, Davis, Tooele, and Utah counties beginning just about 15 minutes ago and ending this evening at 7:06 p.m. So that's from the National Weather Service. And so there you go. We're in the middle of a severe thunderstorm warning for basically the entirety of the mass of the populace here in the state of Utah. Right here along the Wasatch Front. So
yeah.
We'll keep our eyes peeled for anything. I mean, we can see a lot of clouds forming and everything around Broadcast House, but this is, you know, we're expecting some weather, obviously, over the last few days. So there you go.
All right.
Ethan, we've been chatting a little bit about Morgan Scalley being suspended by the University of Utah indefinitely as they investigate texts that were sent apparently in 2013 that contained a racial slur. Morgan Scally told the athletic director and Coach Kyle Whittingham that indeed that text was sent. He confirmed it with them. Obviously, Mark Harlan wasn't here at the university. It was Dr. Hill that was running things then in the athletic department. And then, but Coach Whittingham, he was the head coach still, obviously. And this came as a surprise to him. This is what he said. He was shocked and disappointed to find out this had happened. That's something that you said, Ethan, was, you know, if this thing isn't getting run up the flagpole, like, hey, how do we handle this?
Then up to management.
Right.
Yeah.
Then that's a, well, and that's the thing is that Morgan Scally, for all intents and purposes, is, you know, upper management already.
Well,
he's
the heir apparent to the head coaching position, as you indicated, but also he's the defensive coordinator for a program that is nationally recognized for its defense.
These are highly, highly, highly paid men at their positions.
Yeah, he is performing. I mean, we love the Utes. Obviously, it's the team that I cheer for, and it's they're our local school. We sometimes forget that Morgan Scally is executing at an elite level, and it's like nationwide. I mean, he is among the best.
He is sought after. There are other schools that have tried to lure him away.
Yeah. That's right. And so it's, I think I'm glad the university has taken this seriously. You asked the question of whether or not time was a factor, and I don't know how the university is going to see that.
That's the number one thing people are texting in. They're saying, how is it? It's a 7 or 8 year old text. Come on. You know,
here's the thing though. Here's the thing. And this is maybe a lesson for us here in Utah. Morgan Scally is not an outlier. He's not an outsider. He's not a weirdo. He comes from the bosom of Utah and Utah culture. Yet he felt it was okay at a certain point in time to do this. Now, and this is setting aside any other question of anything else. He did this. And, you know, here in the state of Utah, we have a very kind of calm society. And I think we make a lot of assumptions about ourselves. But I think that we ought to take very, very seriously that someone who, like I said, just comes from right in the bosom of our local culture is expressing sentiment like this. And I know it's shared. And I know this because, Alex, you and I have heard among, you know, our community, quietly people share similar types of sentiment. Mm-hmm. And they largely get away with it because they are around people who are like them and who don't want to stir the pot. And, you know, it's something that we need to change because we are raising young people still, and we would never admit this and we would never really call it this publicly, but look at how aggressively, for example, Hispanic immigrants have been dealt with at our schools, how much they've been bullied over the last 3 years in Utah schools. We've seen a lot of that reporting. It doesn't kind of get widespread because, in part, I think because we don't like to think about that. We don't like to think of ourselves as those kinds of people that would mistreat people. But the fact of the matter is that it's not uncommon for us to raise up young people in our children who did not understand what they should have about race and race relations. Instead, they understood that something completely different. And maybe this is a real opportunity to kind of stop letting ourselves get away with that. That's just kind of my take. It's startling. I think one of the reasons why it's so startling that it's Morgan Scally is because Morgan Scally.
Well,
he's not a weirdo. He's not an outsider. He's not someone else. He is one of us.
This is a guy who's all American academic.
He's not just that. He's all Utah.
Yeah.
He's all Utah.
Here, I'll tell you too, because we moved from, we've been in the Highland boundaries for the last 10 years, you know, and that's where he went to high school. And he is like, everyone's like, there's nobody is better than Morgan Scally at this school. I mean, all the lists of amazing people that have gone through Highland High School in the football program, they have some amazing people, but they're like, oh, this is a guy who is from here, raised here, you know.
Yeah.
But like a 3.97 GPA at Utah, has his master's degree and all these things. He has this, and so that's why you look at it and you go, no, this isn't like this is a person who has the same type of credentials as your next door neighbor. You know what I mean? Like,
and think about it like this. Think about it like this too. And maybe this is an opportunity to kind of get with our kids about this, because this is 8 years later. Morgan Scali's job is hanging by a thread. Now, whether or not you think that's fair, I can't answer that question for you. But what if it was your kid? What if it was your kid that was caught on tape in high school chanting "Build the Wall" at some Hispanic kids? Because guess what? That happens across the state. What if then it was your son or daughter that was caught chanting, you know, stuff like that, and they're on camera, and it follows them into adulthood? Do you want to be having this kind of conversation? We've got to educate our kids. We've got to educate our kids. Someone didn't have this conversation with Morgan Stanley. And again, I'm not saying he's a bad guy, but this conversation was missed.
Yeah.
At some point, he felt like it was okay to do this. Also, the internet proves once again there are no such thing as private conversations. So remember that too.
Everything's digitized and lives out there somewhere. So the question is what's that social... How long until, you know, we look at it and we say, you know, we're going to give them a "you were young and stupid," because there's a lot of young and stupid that happens out there. Is this one of those? We're going to still talk about some of these things here going on. We're trying to have an entertaining, fun Friday night, and then it gets ruined by news. But, you know, we'll still have those. We have first world problems coming up tonight. We've got all sorts of fun stuff planned to chat with you about here on the Nightside Project. Stay with us. More to go on KSL News Radio, news, traffic, and weather right here at the bottom of the hour.
At 6:30 at KSL News Radio, I'm Jason Tulin. KSL's top stories this hour. Salt Lake City's police chief and mayor made brief statements today following the release of body cam video of a deadly shooting involving a 22-year-old man last month. KSL News Radio's Mark Juke with more.
Neither took questions. Chief Mike Brown only made a statement.
Nightside.
This is the Nightside Project.
I may be super, but
I am no hero.
Nightside on KSL.
A limited edition summer season.
You realize, though, Alex, this is just temporary.
Yeah, I still took your parking space, and I'm not giving it back.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
All right, this is the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Carey. Thanks so much for tuning in tonight on this stormy night. We are under a severe storm?
Severe thunderstorm warning for Salt Lake, Utah, Tooele, and Davis counties.
Okay, so we'll expect high winds, lightning.
Yeah, and if I'm looking outside here at Broadcast House, Ethan. I know you're up in Cottonwood Heights, but...
I'm also in a basement, so I actually cannot see outside the window.
Call it a storm, like a storm basement. I'm in the storm. I already got in here.
I'm in the bunker.
If you just want to overdo it and be too dramatic. Yeah, the trees are getting whipped around pretty good.
I'm in the KSL storm bunker.
So we'll keep you...
Broadcasting live.
Much like our earthquake coverage, we'll be like, what's going on in your place? We got some rain. It's raining right here right now. Like how much? Like a lot or just a little bit? Well, just a little bit right now. I'll call you back. Okay.
Seems like a lot.
Millard, we got so much to go on this. I wanted to make sure and bring up the NFL. Now that this is not a sports show, we've gone a solid obviously the segments go further than talking about sports just because it's Utah's defensive coordinator, Morgan Scali, who's suspended indefinitely as they investigated a 2013 racial slur that he sent via text. According to the school and him. And the NFL has long been criticized for not doing enough. They've thrown some money at social justice programs and things like that since the Colin Kaepernick mishandling of things. This is also an organization that stays quite rich and still is able to receive just make fistfuls of money, Ethan, in the face of doing things not well when it comes to the social justice side of things and looking like you're doing the right thing. The commissioner of the NFL, Roger Goodell, I wanted to make sure and play this. This is a statement that he made via Twitter today, talking about the NFL just straight up saying they missed the mark.
It has been a difficult time for our country.
in particular, black people in our country. First, my condolences to the families of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and all the families who have endured police brutality. We, the National Football League, condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people. We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest. We, the National Football League, believe Black Lives Matter. I personally protest with you and want to be part of the much-needed change in this country. Without black players, there would be no National Football League. And the protests around the country are emblematic of the centuries of silence, inequality, and oppression of black players, coaches, fans, and staff. We are listening. I am listening. And I will be reaching out to players who have raised their voices and others on how we can improve and go forward for a better and more united NFL family.
Ethan, your thoughts on a guy who usually comes across as zero personality, makes $50 million a year as the commissioner, doesn't do enough. He gets criticized because he's at the very top of the NFL, an organization that makes a kajillion dollars a year.
Yeah.
This is the first thing he's done right in a long time.
Well, my thought with this, too, was I've got two thoughts, actually. They're both related to Colin Kaepernick. And one is this the closest Colin Kaepernick is ever going to come to getting an apology?
For sure.
And then number two is he one of the players that Roger Goodell says he's going to be reaching out to?
I want to know, what are they actually going to do? That's what I want to know. What is the actual action going to happen?
I don't know, but if we would have listened to Colin Kaepernick, boy, this would be different. And when you think about it, too, politically, could you imagine? Because right now, President Trump's reelection is on the line. It's far from certain. In fact, he's on very shaky ground. Could you imagine how much
maybe
better
the shakiest,
it would be?
This, I wouldn't agree. When I walk by, the ground shakes. It's amazing. Shaky ground.
Could you imagine how much different it would be if President Trump had, instead of maligning and demeaning and mocking Colin Kaepernick and the other black players, if he had instead embraced it and said, hey, you know what? These guys have an important message. Because now all these guys are trying to scramble saying, oh, yeah, it's a really important message. But a couple of years ago, they were real jerks about it and really offensive towards these black players. And imagine the firmer ground that conservatives could be on if, instead of trying to turn it into a black versus white thing, they took it seriously from the start. Now they're having to backpedal and say, no, we've always believed in justice for all. But
well, he said it right. I mean, you know what? He said a statement that is, it's difficult to say, but it's 100% true. And I don't think he should feel difficult saying it. Without black players, there's no NFL. The thing is that those were naughty words to say, you know, a few years ago. And frankly,
just a couple
they've never
of seasons,
said,
right?
Yeah, it was just like, oh, hey, without the black players, there is no league. And you'd heard that from other people, but the commissioner would never say it because, well, one, he knows it's true, but you don't want to bring race into it when you're not asked about it,
well,
right?
And
so he would try to avoid it at all costs.
That's right, yeah. And the problem is, too, is that this is also a management labor problem. So if the commissioner says without black players, you know, just a few years ago, if he would have come out and said without black players, there's no NFL, he would have run into a problem with management, with ownership saying, no, we're the NFL. And that's kind of a classic problem in the economy. It's always been that way. But I think that we really had a chance to kind of do it right the first time. Colin Kaepernick was making it real super easy. And also, I think we have to get used to athletes being activists, because if we are really, truly looking for a way forward to kind of unite people and to find the path forward and to find and implement these solutions and to perform the self-reflections that we have to, black athletes are obvious picks for leaders on this. they really bring people together. They're people that are taken seriously in both the black community and the white community. And boy, they're natural. And not only are they in a great position, but these men and women are also natural leaders. You know this. I mean, professional athletes are natural leaders. They have amazing abilities, and they don't get enough credit for that. And it's so I think it's time that we embrace these athletes as activists and leaders that should be listened to, rather than saying things like that, like, you know, was said so often on talk radio, you know, shut up and dribble and just do your job. Just play. We want to watch you play. We don't want to listen to you talk, things like that. Because, I mean, look at people's reaction, you know, to Colin Kaepernick. Oh, well, you just need to throw the ball. You need to stop talking. We're not watching to hear anything you have to say. But then when Drew Brees started to get in trouble, a white guy, everyone's like, oh, well, Drew Brees has the right to his opinion. You need to listen to him. Well, yeah. How about we let these athletes kind of step up and play this role? I think it's, in my mind, it's an obvious role for them to play, because it's a place, sports is a place where people come together. You know this, Alex, football brings people together of all races.
Yeah.
So let it be a place, right?
It's a lot of, there's a lot tonight. Hey, are your dogs still in the room?
No, why? Could you hear them before?
Of course I could. The whole Wasatch Front heard them.
Heard them.
Those dogs under control, man. Jeez.
They were barking at the...
your kids?
The weather, probably.
The weather. Okay. Speaking of the weather, Ethan, I've got another update here. The National Weather Service has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for Salt Lake County, Weber County, and Davis counties starting at 6:33 p.m., ending at 7:18 p.m. So just about 11 minutes ago, they issued a new updated severe thunderstorm warning for Salt Lake, Weber, and Davis counties ending at 7:18 p.m. And so that's the latest update from the National Weather Service, a thunderstorm warning for those three counties. Somebody asked us via text, what are the huge plumes of smoke coming from west of Mona? That's that car accident, I'm assuming, that has the overturned semi-truck that was causing all those problems on the road.
Was it on fire also?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, Ethan, you've played Grand Theft Auto. If the car flips over, it catches on fire.
Oh, it explodes. You have like 7 or 8 seconds.
I told you about a roommate of mine who he rolled his 4Runner when we were in college, like a slow, one of those slow rolls, like kind of like embarrassing. It wasn't like a high speed rollover, but it rolled, and he and his girlfriend get out, and he's like, "Run!" because he played so much Grand Theft Auto, he thought it was going to explode. I'm just saying. All right, 57500 is the text number. I get that you want to talk about just fun things tonight. We do too. My heavens, boy, we do too. And we're going to get to more of those. So I wanted to make sure you got the Roger Goodell audio, because I teased that, and I don't want to short anybody of that. We've got first world problems to do tonight. We've got pandemic etiquette. I just call it pandetiquette, Ethan. The pandemic etiquette, the stuff that is socially acceptable now when you go out, because social situations have become, at the very least, awkward. So we're going to have some of those ways to make them less awkward. Stay right here with us. The Nightside Project continues right here on KSL News Radio, right around the corner. We'll be back. We hope you're there with us.
Nightside, credibility, also absurd news. The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. This is the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Keery. Boy, heavy show today, Alex. It really has been.
Yeah, I don't prefer them, but, you know, number one deal is to... bring you the news, man. I mean, look, here's the thing. Amber alerts happen. Weather, you know, the National Weather Service issues a thunderstorm warning to our area. Those go over the air first. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have maybe one of the highest profile coaches. No, certainly one of the highest profile coaches in the state of Utah being suspended for racial texts sent in 2013. We're going to talk about it, dang it. It stinks to talk about, but here we are.
Gall darn it.
Yeah, I don't want to cuss, Ethan. Come on. It's a family show. By the way, people were saying that via text that I said, and I foolishly made assumptions that the fire near Mona was from that accident, but they're saying, no, it's not. Looks like this fire is burning west of Santaquin near Goshen, Genola, Alberta.
Geez.
These are some of my favorite city names, by the way. Goshen, yeah. Genola, Alberta. Alberta.
That's a neat little area there. A lot of cool little old ghost towns and old mines, things like that out there.
Yeah, so we'll keep our eye on that, how that's – someone says this looks like a wildfire. So if you're seeing all that smoke, we're trying to figure it out too. Hey, Ethan, in the meantime, I wanted to get to a little something here. Have things gotten awkward for you in the pandemic?
Yes.
Now, you've already – and this is not me being funny or anything. You've always been pretty socially awkward.
Yeah. I'm terrible. I can't talk to people.
No, but
why do you think I'm doing this from my basement? I'm just saying. Because I know that if I were in the same room with you, this would get awkward.
Well, so, you know, Ethan's not a big and I'm kind of the same way. I kind of put my head down, and even though I'm mostly a type A personality, sometimes I can just kind of get in my own world and and just not interact with people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, this happened to me the other day, because this pandemic etiquette that is on it's in this article is interesting. They give you scenarios. Okay, I'm going to give you a scenario, Ethan, and I'll give you this one. Because
let's hear it.
During all this pandemic, has somebody offered you a handshake?
No, actually, no.
You know what? I've gotten two handshakes offered to me, and my dumb brain just goes, you have to do it. It's a social contract. And I have totally shaken hands with one of them. Was actually here at work.
Someone who was actively sneezing and coughing into their hands?
One of them was my wife, and I was like, get out of here. No, but it was here at work, and it was somebody I've never met, and I was doing a thing for TV, and they introduced themselves, and they said, oh, hey, I'm so-and-so, and she reached that hand right across to me, and it was almost like a game of chicken, because I was just like, I'm going in too. You're not going to beat me at this.
That's an HR violation at this point.
I know, and I didn't mention it. And
what
I didn't
you got to do?
I'm just saying it right now over the radio is all I'm saying. I kept it until now.
The solution is with our old friend Patrick Wiggins. You remember Patrick Wiggins?
I'm a waver, not a shaker.
He would, when you held out your hand, and he did this, because this is his thing, he held out your hand, and he would put his hand up and say, I'm a waver, not a shaker.
Way ahead of his time, by the way, because we're all wavers, not shakers now.
And so just do what Patrick always did. I'm a waver, not a shaker.
Okay, so.
For the most part, the people that I've interacted with have still been.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, the most of, like, all the people that I would normally, you know, the thing is that we miss hugs. Somebody did say, I watched a weird interaction the other day. Someone goes, oh, can I just sort of give you a social distancing hug? And it was, I used that voice because it was not, you know, it was like, I don't know, it was one of my wife's friends or somebody else's. And I remember thinking to myself, this feels weird, right? I watch stuff on TV now where people are hugging. Somebody was doing, like, there was bobbing for apples in a movie the other day, and I went, this is against all the violations that you could have. But it was from, like, a movie 30 years ago. And so we've just changed the way things look now, right? And so for this one, they say if somebody does go in for that handshake, use your words.
Use your words,
and
Alex.
body language. In American culture, we're programmed to see the refusal of a handshake as the height of rudeness. When somebody holds their hand out and you don't do it, that's like a really, like, you think about it culturally, it's a bad deal. I pull both of my hands away into a stop sign up to your shoulders so you're not pushing them away. And I say, I'm so excited to see you. And that's what they said to do.
Really?
They said you can also defuse
the situation. I'm so excited to see you.
I'm so excited to see you. Hey, Biff. Get your dang hands off me. That's what you're supposed to say. So that's what happens with the handshake. It just says pull the hands away and go, oh, my goodness. I'm a waver, not a shaker. No one's going to go, are you serious? Because they know that they're the ones that are in the minority right now. Okay.
Yeah.
Stranger gets too close to the grocery store. Ethan, what do you do?
Well, this is why I carry a concealed firearm.
You're like, you look for your closest.
It's actually not a firearm.
Think of your closest thing of produce. Look, grab it and throw it straight at him.
It's actually not a firearm. It's a ballpoint pen that went dead 5 or 6 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
I'm ready, man.
It's stabby. No,
I'm ready.
Okay, so it says to keep a cool head. And it says, here's what it says. Keep a cool head. Don't presume negative intent if they got near you at the grocery store.
Right, of course.
And I'm
not,
like, yeah. I'm trying to think.
Makes sense.
What are they trying to do? Like, their social commentary on the situation is, I'm going to go to the store and get close to people. How I'm going to protest this thing. But this says, this person may have been up all night worrying, and they're just trying to get milk for their kids, and they drifted into your space. I thought that was weirdly specific, but I also think that it was like, You know, I get it. Other people are going through different things. I have had to just here's the rule that I've sort of gone to. You ready for this?
Yeah.
On the ski hill, Ethan, who's in charge? Or who's responsible?
The uphill skier.
The person who is the uphill, skier. And we're all sort of uphill skiers. I mean, this is defensive walking. This is defensive driving, essentially, right? And you're walking around, and if somebody kind of drifts into your area, you have full capability of just, like, moving to the next space, moving over a little bit. And we're using masks all around our studio. Now, I had a moment today where I had to come into the studio on Jeff Kaplan's show, and I'm talking to the producer, but in the studios, we don't wear masks on the air, right? And there's no one in here.
Right.
It's just me. And the rule is, though, if we're walking between places, you put your mask on. And so I'm going between the studio and the producer's booth that's, or the producer's desk, or the executive producer's desk that's out there 20 feet from me. And I'm going back and forth, and my mask is in here on the thing. And I walked over, and poor Nick Wyatt, he looked at me while I'm talking. And he put his mask on while I'm talking. I was like, okay, I got you. Cool. Guess I'm gross now. But you know what? He was practicing the right way of doing things. So there you go. Ethan, here's another scenario. You ready?
Okay.
A friend starts espousing coronavirus conspiracy theories. What do you do?
Oh.
What do you do?
Boy, I don't know that there's any good way.
Here comes that produce again.
I don't think there's any good way. I think all you can do is say, yeah, that's really interesting, and then try and change the conversation.
Really, like someone just showed you their collection of earwax? Oh, yeah, that's really interesting.
Or you could say something like, well, you know, it'll all be over soon. And then
and you give them the neck slash? What? You know, it'll all be over soon.
The only thing you can do is change the subject, right?
Yeah, I guess. It says to redirect. You're right.
You change the subject.
It says, why not just let it go? In conversation etiquette, the most important thing is to acknowledge what's going on. Look, Nick just showed up outside. I'm sorry. I keep having to walk between the two things. I'm not supposed to wear it in here. Stay behind that glass, bro. Jeez, man. Get your germs away from me. sorry. That's my apologies to Nick for walking over to him, asking when I'm going on the air.
Dude,
and then being shamed.
You're treading on some HR territory.
Well,
here,
no. The gal is the one who tried to shake my hand.
Well, yeah, but now poor Nick. What's Nick supposed to do?
Yeah, keep wearing that mask. Roll hard with the mask. We're all doing it. It's fine. We're all doing
good.
It.
Hey, but I'm proud of you guys.
But listen, there are so few people in the building that every once in a while, somebody walks into my studio upstairs, and the mask may be on, may be off, depending on if I'm recording something. And if they walk in, again, that's the uphill skier thing for them. Like, they're responsible.
Yeah.
They got to show
me. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right.
So yeah. So I'm – because I'm sitting at a seat there, and I'm in a place where I'm safe. So, all right, send us a text message, 57500, to the Utah Community Credit Union text line, 575-0000. You can give us your thoughts. We're just plumb out of time here, Ethan. This one says, try selling cars for 23 years and then not shake hands, ?
Yeah, that's
weird. Like telling the baseball players not to spit now. They're not supposed to spit. And the managers of the baseball.
That's just etiquette, though.
Come on. No. Ethan. I'm not going to take baseball rules from you. This is a guy who.
Spitting is not a baseball rule.
This is a guy who picked up his peanut shells after we were at the game, at the Bees game. He goes, well, I don't want to have to.
You know why?
I don't want to have anybody pick up my trash. It's what we do.
Because, look, I'm not a pig, all right? And you know what? These baseball players can go without spitting.
No, they can't. It is ingrained in them.
Well,
it's ingrained in them.
They're just going to have to figure out a way to play baseball without spitting. And I don't know how far we're supposed to extend our sympathies on this matter. Do you want me to send them a card? maybe a gift card to Amazon or something? I'm really sorry. You can't spit anymore.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right.
Here's a gift card to Amazon.
575-0000. All right. We're going to take the break here. We've got news, traffic, and weather. When we return, next hour, we've got some fun things still planned. We do have some of Ethan's classic headlines, and we also have, oh my goodness, we've got first world problems next hour, all sorts of fun to participate in. So stay with us. News, traffic, and weather is right now, and we'll be right back. Stay with us here on the Nightside Project.
KSL FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City.
Nightside.
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 This
is the Nightside Project.
Look at the size of that boy's head. I'm not kidding. It's like an orange on a toothpick.
Nightside on KSL.
A limited edition summer season.
It's summer now. They told me this would be temporary.
It cannot end soon enough.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
Welcome to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Keery. Special spring season, limited edition spring season of the Nightside Project.
Already,
thanks
it's
so
already,
much. For that.
We're already branding it as summer, so.
Let's see here.
So we haven't hit summer yet, but we're branding it like that, which means that it is. We have a text that came in. It says, oh, you said send me a text, okay? Well, then here you go. Why can't people just be decent and respect other people's personal space? I mean, seriously, is it really that hard?
Excellent
That's my
point.
Thought. That's a really
Excellent
good point.
Point.
And look, yep. I just love that they were enraged enough by us hounding them to send a text in that they finally said, fine.
Okay, fine,
okay, here.
Maybe
it's as simple as this.
Maybe they felt like we weren't respecting their personal space.
Well,
maybe.
Listen, you and I both, and like I said, you and I both, when the rules say, hey, do this, we kind of do it. You and I are both kind of rule followers. Despite our shows, are you drinking a fountain drink while we're having the show here? Is that what's going on?
No.
I heard. Hold on. Is that Pebble Ice in that foam cup? I'm so mad right now. I'm so mad right now.
Why? Because you can't.
Because I can't drink
in
the studio,
and I can.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You know, talk to your engineers, man.
Oh, yeah, that'll be good.
Set the rules.
Hey, guys, I'm looking to do a 44-ouncer maybe in the studio. Is that okay?
Well, when I was there, you could.
I know. And that's
there
why
was
we
no, there were
boards.
No rules.
They go, hey,
like
we're going to have to get new boards because these are dripping in syrup. I don't know what the deal is. All right. We got to kick off the next portion of the show here, Ethan. It is
I've
your
got some headlines.
It's your headlines, so just jump right in. Give us the stuff from the day that caught your
All
attention.
All right. All right, headlines from today. A French dairy farmer has accidentally created a new type of cheese. Now, we've always kind of had it in our minds that dairy products don't go bad. They just turn into a different kind of dairy product, right? That's kind of how it works to some degree. But coming up with a new cheese out of neglect is actually fairly rare. A man named Lionel Voxelair, who is a farmer, he has 25 cows and he makes Munster cheese. Now, when the Munster cheese has to be washed, the rind has to be washed daily during the, you know, the curing process. And when demand collapsed for the coronavirus, he had about 60
wheels.
Oh, I don't know what you call about 60 wheels of this Munster cheese in a cellar. And so he just basically forgot about it. And then he went back down there. He's like, oh, man, I left this cheese down here. And oh, lo and behold, it's turned into a completely new kind of cheese that he thinks stands on its own. And so he's dubbed it. The confinement cheese.
Oh, okay.
And
this guy, yeah, I'll just tell you right now.
It sold out.
Oh.
It sold out.
I will
tell
you right now, this guy's been planning this all along, and here's the thing.
You think so?
Well, okay. So you left some cheese a little bit longer than what it should have been left. You're the first person to ever do that. Good
well,
job,
but it, so
cheesemaker.
This is it's rare to do this, though, out of just neglect. And have it work out because usually
Ethan,
just you know
Ethan,
gets moldy and you throw it out.
Ethan, call me when. Look, those monks put all those. There's those monks that make the crypt cheese or whatever. It's like fed by the worms from dead bodies or something like that. And they're like, oh yeah, it's good stuff.
Listen to how he describes this.
That's the exact.
Listen how he describes it.
That's the neglect cheese right there. Le confinement.
It has got all the flora. Of our full-fat
right,
raw milk and the flora of the cellar.
Oh, gosh. Because you left it on the floor of the cellar.
Mm-hmm. It's chalky inside with a floury crust, which
Gross!
Is grayish and speckled.
Who wants a dusty piece of cheese? What did it say? It's what in the middle?
It is chalky.
That is disgusting. Nobody
no,
wants
No, you've had chalky cheese before. It's just kind of cheese that's got more of a dry texture.
So that's it. All right. Like a cotija? Like a queso fresco type of situation?
No,
bathtub
that's
cheese?
Not chalky. Queso fresco is not.
Queso fresco.
All
anyway.
Right.
What else do you got for me besides fake cheese?
Another story that you can make fun of.
Well, no, but I'm just saying I'm not saying you did this. I'm saying this guy is taking advantage of the fact that he basically didn't do his job, and then he's like, I got a new cheese.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. The mayor of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Jim Kenney, has kicked off a new campaign to alert you to the fact that it's actually really inappropriate to flush things like gloves and masks or otherwise allow them to enter into the sewers and the storm drains because they don't break down. They've actually caused a lot of problems, a lot of problems.
Cannot say this enough.
They say
this would have been a joke headline for me 10 years ago, but I've been a landlord. And there are the things that people send down the toilet that I've had to call plumbers on. Like, I cannot believe it.
Shame on all of you.
Well, and you have to go.
Shame on all of you for doing this dallet.
Here's the thing. Why would you think a Q-tip would go down a toilet bowl normally? You know what I mean? And it's like the kind of thing where it's like, I used 11 Q-tips tonight. I'm putting them all down the toilet. It's like,
why would you put them in the toilet? Why would you put them in the garbage?
Because, Ethan, the same reason people are putting rubber gloves down the toilet. They're like, oh, yeah.
Because they're morons. So here's the deal. In Philadelphia, between mid-March and the end of April, almost all of the city's sewer and storm pumping stations experienced clogs from face masks, gloves, and wipes.
Do you remember the Fatbergs
finding? Fatbergs, yeah.
This would be a new weird twist on the Fatberg you'll find underneath cities now, right?
Imagine a Fatberg with like some latex gloves in it sticking out of it.
Oh, gosh.
You go it almost looks like it's alive. Pop out.
Yeah, it almost looks like it's alive because it has hands on it and it's got mask. It's got a mask on it.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like that the Fatberg's trying to social distance from you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, keep her going. Let's go. What do you got for headlines?
So,
did you just take another drink off your drink?
No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't. No. Pamela Mooring, who's a spokesperson for D.C. Water in Washington, D.C., said, quote, when everyone rushed out to get toilet paper and there was none, people were using whatever they could. And that was a problem they had in Washington, D.C. I'm just trying to share with you all of the sewer problems that cities across the country are sharing.
Sure, I'm on board. Look, if you don't have sewers, you ain't. You get what I'm saying?
Well, but you can kind of see how that would happen. Now, I'll tell you this. The whole business with the face masks and the gloves, those would never go down the toilet in any circumstance. I am, however, sympathetic to people and they have no toilet paper. And they're like, well, I used this crushed up. I wrinkled up this newspaper to make it soft. And then I flushed it. I'm sympathetic to that. You shouldn't do that. You should. I can't believe this is a conversation we're having.
No, keep going.
But you throw it in the garbage.
I'm
going
to give you five more minutes on septic talk.
But
stuff that breaks down in the toilet. Thanks, Millard.
So experts say the best thing to do is if you've got to use all... And this is what we should have done when it was actually hard to get toilet paper. Yeah. Where was KSL then? Was KSL sharing this information?
KSL wants to apologize for not sharing the types of plants that are appropriate out in the wilderness for you to use.
Because the Nightside Project, I feel like we came on the air after toilet paper really was widely available.
Ethan, everything is toilet paper if you're brave enough. All right?
I'm sympathetic, though, that then it becomes flushable. It's like, well, is this flushable? I don't care. I'm getting it out of my house.
For sure.
I'm sympathetic to that, right?
Listen,
but really, you got to throw it in the garbage bag.
I'm sure this cannot just be Philadelphia. I'm sure there are people that are flushing gloves and masks right now as they don't listen to the Nightside Project right here in Utah.
And which is why you listen to the Nightside
Project. Listen,
you get this kind of information.
If I find out you're a glove flusher, I'm coming over to your house. You know, that's what my new stance is. If I find out that you're a glove flusher, then I have to tell you that we're not going to be friends anymore.
Among the things that you should not flush?
Tell me.
Gloves and masks.
Yeah, got it.
Wet wipes.
That's also been on the list for a while, but yeah.
Untended Munster cheese from France.
Actually, you will end up sending that one down the old pipes, yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Good chat, Ethan. I'm glad you brought up that stuff.
Good job, everybody.
All right, let's take the break here. Hey, coming up in about 20 minutes, first world problems. Start warming them up now. You can even start sending them in right now. And you can start, you know, complaining about the things that you might feel bad about complaining about because they're kind of low-level problems, but we want you to share them here. First world problems, those are going to be coming up in just a little while. Stay with us. The Nightside Project continues on KSL News Radio.
Nightside, we're all friends here.
The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
As I was saying, at one wastewater pump pumping station in Maryland.
Right now? What are you doing? You're going to go back to the toilet news?
They've seen an increase of 37,000 pounds of wipes during January through March 2020 compared to the same period in 2019.
Why is that, do you think? Because they're at home and they're using wipes at home but not at work?
I think it's just because of the lack of toilet paper. I mean, or the...
I have a pretty strict at-home-only kind of situation. You want to talk more about that?
Yeah, Michigan's Macomb County spent $50,000 in 2018 removing a fatberg.
See, fatberg, you Googled it when we
oils,
left.
Yeah, debris, oils, and grease that was 100 feet long.
Okay.
100 feet long. And 11 feet wide.
That you know how Salt Lake has like a haunted history. This town has a haunted history.
Oh my gosh!
That fatberg is going to come to life, and it's going to come. There needs to be one of those like Sharknado movies called Fatberg, and the fatberg comes to life and just comes out of the underbelly.
It like reaches
of the city.
Up through the toilet and grabs you and pulls you down.
Yes. Yeah.
Through the toilet, which is gruesome.
See, I can jam with this person. This says, on the subject of toilet paper, I served a mission in Chile. So I wanted to let you know, in Chile, you don't flush any toilet paper at all. You put it in the garbage can. In the garbage can!
Now,
is what they said with exclamation. Can I tell you how fun it was to take out the garbage? And I will attest.
Did you take out the garbage, like, every single time you use the bathroom?
I would hope so.
I mean, you'd have to.
Yeah. Anyway. Right.
You'd have to. I mean, there'd be no other way to do that.
I appreciate what you're doing for the show here. Let's move on to a new thing. Hey, this week, Salt Lake City School District got out officially. And my kids did the drive-by wave-by.
Oh, did you go back to your old neighborhood for that?
Yeah, I went back to the old neighborhood. We drove the what we did was we drove down. I was going to have to go to work right after. And I had.
Did you sit in front of your old house? Did people think that was weird?
No, but I'm driving the KSLSports.com truck this week.
Okay.
And so my kids piled out of my wife's car. We got to the school, got into the back of the truck, and went through. You just drive through. All you did was go through the parking lot, right? And so they're fun. They're in the back of the truck. They're waving. They're kind of going, oh, yeah, like it's a parade. And we were going through, and the teacher's like, oh, so sad you guys moved. And then other people are going, okay, see you next year, teachers. And the teachers were, I'm not kidding, and this is just at the Salt Lake School District Elementary School my kids were at. They were like, yeah, maybe. Like, they were very down on the idea of, they felt like school was not going to return at the normal time.
Hmm.
And now, Salt Lake stays orange right now, which is very disappointing for Cooper to hear. For baseball purposes,
well,
they didn't move on.
Utah cases are going up so much. That's the problem.
Yeah, but the hard thing about that is a third of them is at that one meat plant, right? From today, today's numbers, a third of them are from that meat plant.
Yeah, but I mean,
but to be sure, the uptick is there for sure.
Well, but
our company, let me pull back the curtain a little bit on our company.
All right.
We got an email today. They said, hey, with the way things are right now, we're still largely going to be doing this, which is working from home as much as we can, figuring it out at least through July 4th weekend. So, and I can see it going further than that. And frankly, if you have the ability to be flexible like that, you should, right? So my thing is this.
Yeah.
So schools have started buying some of the safety equipment, all right? So the question is, with all these things that are being bought, are schools going to be back in with these things in place? Masks, my kids are like, kids are the hardest group to get to wear the masks. They're the hardest group to get to wear the masks.
Yeah.
And I mean, you go in the store and they're fiddling with them, they're fidgeting with them, and people are like, well, they got to wear them out more. And I'm like, that's the thing is that like the more they wear them out, the more they hate them. And we don't go places. If we go places with our kids, I'm like, hey, stay out here with your mom because I'll just go in, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to bring my kids into the store, all of us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the thing is that going to class with a mask on, staggering when they're going to be going to class, that's probably going to be the new reality of next year.
Yeah, I think so. Keeping the class sizes real small, that's going to be the reality until a couple of things are happening. We get a vaccine or some other treatment or we learn something new. You know, we discover something new about it that meaningfully changes the equation. Then I agree with you, Alex. I think this is a thing where we'll just do it in shifts, you know, and kids won't be going to school all together like they were. I wonder too. So I think one of the reasons why the homeschool effort happened and was able to happen, however successful we think it was because so many of the parents were home as well, and everyone was home together. When we hit the fall, we're not going to see the business world and the school world shut down at the same time in the same way, right?
Yeah,
I mean, we're
for
not.
Sure not. Yeah.
Businesses are figuring things out, and they're trying to kind of get open in a way that they can stay open. That's why the masks are so important, is because if everyone, you know, wears the mask, then we can keep the businesses open even if we don't find a vaccine for it. And we prevent the kind of spike in cases in the wintertime that would lead to another serious problem. But we're not going to be able to coordinate that again. We coordinated this year in the spring by accident, you know.
Yeah.
Everything was shut down, so all right, well, everyone's home. So are the kids, so are the parents, for the most part. But, man, we're not going to be able to do that again. It's going to be hard for families in the fall to figure out this kind of round-robin schedule, if that's what they do. It's going to be hard.
Ethan, I was kind of shocked by a story that I saw today about so here's the headline. Just take it for what it's worth, and then I want you to start thinking about the shows that they might be talking about. Amid the George Floyd protests, is it time for cop TV shows to be canceled for good?
Hmm.
That's a question that Kelly Lawler of USA Today asked, which I never thought to myself, you got it. Well, you know what you got to start with first? You got to take Law and Order off the air, because that is
But I don't consider Law and Order to be a cop show, though.
Are you kidding me? The first half hour is... you know, the candlestick from Beauty and the Beast trying to solve some stuff from the detective side of things.
Now, I don't...
First scene is this. Random person who... if you see them in the first 5 seconds of the show, I pity them because they're going to die, right?
Of course, yeah.
And then there's the crime scene, so you got the cops there. You might even have a little chase.
Yeah,
the detectives come into it. The detectives are going back and forth with the police. And it's like, get out of my face. This is my precinct. You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it starts to work into the DA. Then Sam Watterson shows up and cooler heads prevail by the end of the show when there's a verdict of guilty or not guilty or whatever. Or a mistrial. You know those ones where you're like, no, it was a mistrial.
Well,
so here's the thing.
Yeah. Why,
have you thought to yourself what they're saying? The argument is, We are glorifying police on television in these fictional TV shows. That's what this is
yeah.
The argument that they're making.
So okay,
I feel like there are. Here's why this is a garbage article. We have the worst television. We have lined up in front of cop shows as being the worst TV that we have. We have 500 million other shows that should be canceled before cop shows should be canceled.
Some of my favorite shows have been cop shows. I love Justified. Now, of course, he was a marshal, you know, federal marshal.
And he was out in the sticks, too,
but,
man.
But the other one was, why can't I think of it? The guy, it was set in Wyoming.
Longmire.
I loved Longmire. And
remember when we had that? Listen, I still dream about Katie Longmire when she was on our show.
Oh, wasn't that amazing?
Oh, yeah.
So you know, some of my favorite shows are these, and I don't.
Do you think to yourself? I feel like, and maybe this is my ignorance talking. I feel like these cop shows, these fictional cop shows, in my mind, have had nothing to do with any of the things that. Like, I don't think Law and Order, the TV show, has affected a bad conversation.
I don't either. And here's why: it's because I think these cop shows are, for the most part, highly moral, in the sense that.
Think about the special victims unit, Ethan.
Well,
come on.
What I mean is that the officers in the shows always portray high superior levels of ethics.
Mostly, yes.
And so, I don't think that would be the case at all. That I wouldn't see those police officer shows as glorifying the poor policing that's being complained about, right?
Yeah.
So, you know what we might see though? We might see a loss of appetite for police shows. Because, you know, look on social media, all the videos.
Best cop on TV.
It's just, all the videos of police right now, people might turn on the TV and say, you know what, I'm not going to watch. I'm not going to watch a show about police. That might happen.
That could happen.
People might just get tired of it as a genre. But okay, no, Ethan, I agree with you. I don't see any correlation.
Top two cops all time on television. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Mariska Hargitay, who, of course, portrayed Captain Olivia Benson on Law & Order. Can't forget her. And then the guy from we talked about him today. The guy what from guy? Family Matters.
Oh, Carl.
Carl Winston.
Carl Winston.
Winslow.
Winslow, yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
The foil to, we never got to see Steve
him.
Urkel.
We never got to see him in action. No, well, we did in Die Hard.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's a cop in Die Hard, too.
Yeah, we did there. But I always would have loved to have seen a Family Matters episode.
Where he dives across the police, like, the cruiser hood and goes after it.
Out in the streets, right. You know.
We got to take a break.
Going with Carl on a ride along.
News, traffic, and weather when we come back. Text us your favorite cops on TV. Also, we've got First World Problems. Stay with us. The Nightside Project continues.
This is the Nightside Project.
Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to then?
We passed then.
When?
Just now.
We're it now.
Nightside on KSL.
A limited edition summer season.
It is a little weird to be back here doing this.
Yeah, the weird part's me taking your temperature before each show.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
Welcome to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Keery. Thanks so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it. We're having a nice time.
We're getting a handful of reactions here, Ethan. Not just first world problems that are coming in.
All right.
A lot of people weighing in on their favorite TV cops. Because, an article in USA Today, lady said, the columnist said, it's time to get rid of the cop shows. And kind of portraying the police is you know on TV is this, I don't know. And then somebody pointed out their favorite Ice-T is a detective. Yes, Ethan, the original. Think about the weirdness of where his career had gone.
Yeah, no kidding.
From telling people blankety blank the police, cop killer, all that stuff to being
a police officer.
One of our most treasured Law and Order cast members of all time.
that is.
I just love
that is a term.
Look, I don't know if Dick Wolf is still alive, but I still see his thing at the end of the thing. It says produced by Dick Wolf. You know, any of these Law and Order things. Them asking Ice-T to be a cop on that TV show, one of the most brilliant moves ever.
Alex, there's no reason to wonder whether Dick Wolf is still alive.
There's no way to know, Ethan. There's no way to know these days.
Hold on.
What are you going to tweet at him? You just try to tweet at him. Is that the only way to get the reaction? You tweet at him and see if he tweets at you.
Richard Anthony Wolf.
Okay.
Born December 20th, 1946, an American television producer and is.
Well, usually the death is right below it on Wikipedia.
Still alive.
There you go.
Yep, he's 73.
All right, Chips is on here. Ethan, we got. Let me see this one. Oh, Deputy Garrow Brown from Life PD. This dude is a black giant. His arms are bigger than a fire hydrant, but he is a giant teddy bear. Often gets emotional when dealing with local young troublemakers.
Is that a reality show?
Yes, Live PD is getting a lot of love on.
Is it really
on the text line right here? Oh, yeah.
All right. Cool.
I've never seen it. I'm like, how could they be live? How on earth could they be live?
We were live once with the Utah Highway Patrol. I think the first time and the last time KSL's ever done that.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, they're interacting with perps. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When we were live with the Utah Highway Patrol, it was like, what are you doing right now, Alex? Well, we pulled over a guy for not using his signal for more than 1 second. So there you go. All right, Barney Fife, another vote on there.
You might be a drug dealer.
57500 is the text number. You want to start sending your text in for your first world problems.
Yeah, get that going. Let's do it right now.
So here's what. I used to have the. Right here. Ethan, first world problems. Let's do it.
Feeling sick from eating too much food? Is your AC in your car too cold? You've got first world problems.
All right, I'll kick that off here. First world problem, my Corona purchased a pool and all the tile options are ugly.
they went in on it too. This is not, the tile options are not, they're not talking about an above ground Walmart pool then.
No.
They're talking about the legit one. Yeah.
I could, you know what? I was thinking about getting one of those. I mean, not thinking about it, but I saw a couple on social media, kind of the above ground pools.
They've gotten so good. I'm telling you, Costco.
And I was like,
and they're massive, dude.
And I was looking,
it's like a real pool.
Like,
oh, it's a real pool, dude.
Because I've got a concrete area in my backyard. I thought, boy, I could fit something like that on there. Because I was on Brandon's Twitter feed. You know, I follow Brandon on Twitter. And he's got an above ground pool.
Oh, he does.
That his kids are playing in. And I looked at that and I was like, oh my gosh, that looks like so much fun. And it would fit on this concrete pad that I have. Now, it's for a basketball hoop, right? There's a basketball hoop.
Oh, yeah,
there.
I forgot about that.
You know, you can imagine how often we play basketball.
Yeah. Probably the last time you played was when my kids were there.
It might have been. Actually, it really might have been.
All right, so here's that's a first world problem. Oh, by the way, Ethan, if we're doing first world problems, that means that we're also doing something very special on the music side of things. There's some music that don't confuse this with George Michael. This is not George Michael. This is Kenny G.
It's Kenny G. Here's one. My daughter is high risk, so I haven't had my cleaners come since March. Took me all afternoon to mop my floors.
We definitely, during our move, first of all, problem, we moved, and our cleaning lady won't drive that far anymore.
You have a cleaning lady?
We did.
Well, la-di-da, Kiri.
We did. Arrived, yeah. It was a once-a-month situation, that was it. Maybe it was once every 2 weeks. It depended on the month.
It was once every 2 weeks or was it once every day? I can't remember.
I was asking her to show up every day.
Did they only clean, or did they also help me get dressed and make breakfast for me?
Are my kids fluent in Spanish now? I guess I missed out on some of it.
I remember how much you drooled over.
I loved
over,
it. Listen.
Over Downton Abbey.
I was, yes. No, there was not an upstairs, downstairs situation. All right? It was awesome.
First world problem, 4 video game consoles, 3 HDMI.
Oh, what?
3 HDMI hookups.
Isn't there a dongle you could get? Hook that thing up?
Well, I think they're probably looking into that now, for sure. They have to.
Get
something.
The old double HDMI dongle there, buddy. Upgraded from an iPhone 6 to an iPhone 11. Now I keep trying to open my phone upside down because there's no button. Yeah. That's actually one of the sticking points for me not wanting to upgrade to anything past the 8. I kind of need that home button.
Here's one. I'm normally not in the car this time of day, so this is the first time I've heard your show. This is a great show.
There you go.
Thank you.
Well, welcome. Only things that we can complain about in the first world here.
I know. Here's another one.
Yes.
Another video game one.
Gosh, we got a lot of gamers cycled through.
They must have texted something else in. It was about a PS4 falling off of a dresser.
Oh, I didn't see it.
But I can't see it anymore.
Well, keep looking for it.
I'll keep looking for it.
Ethan, I've got one. You ready for this?
Yep.
Can I do some, or is this?
Yeah,
is
man.
Just,
no, do it. I want to hear it.
Is it just you guys?
I want to hear.
First
world
problems. The barista didn't put the lid on my coffee properly, and when I went to drink it, the coffee spilled all down my shirt. That's actually a real problem. Mm. It's not a first world problem.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the barista lives at their house. It's an in-house barista. Sorry, I missed that part.
Oh, yes. I got cool sunglass contacts, but I haven't been outside very much to use them because of the pandemic.
Is that a thing?
So contacts that are sunglasses?
What does that mean? Will somebody explain this to me?
Unky Ben, we need clarification on that.
So is it like the old glasses that used to turn dark when you... And do your eyes turn
transitions?
Dark? Yeah, the transition lenses. My mom rolled hard with the transition lenses for
a
while.
Do they work really well? I always wondered that.
The transition ones?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what happens. They turn dark immediately, and then they come inside, and you look like a weirdo for about 30 minutes.
As they cool
you look
off?
Like, yes, you look like you might try to rob the place, or that you've got an eye condition.
You might try to rob
in
the place.
In every iteration.
We all feel like we're trying to rob the place. I remember the first time I went to the gas station.
I'm like, Mom, it's 11 at night. Would you please take these glasses if not cooled off yet? Let's take them off.
I remember the first time that I went to the gas station, you know, when things started kind of loosening up. Or I went inside the gas station.
Oh, you're a...
And I got out of the car.
You disgust me right now. You went into a gas station recently?
I got out of the car and I put on a mask. And I turned towards the door, and it was the weirdest thing, because I'd seen that so many times on TV.
Right,
guy gets out of his car, puts on his mask, walks into the gas station. It's like, well,
this one's for you, honey.
Well, woo! I guess.
What's it? It's like Raising Arizona. I'll be out directly, sweetheart. Oh, my goodness.
First world problem. I want a steak, and I have 30 of them, but I didn't pull them out of my new freezer. They take 2 days to thaw. Yeah. Oh, speaking of Brandon, that was one from him. So.
Yeah, that'll happen, though.
Yeah.
Last couple ones here. It says, my chip clip is harder to put back when my hands are all greasy from eating my chips. You're trying to pinch that chip clip thing, and you're also trying to wipe the grease off your face. Like, hold on here. I got you. I'm one of those people.
My child is screaming so loud, I can't think of a good first world problem. And Unky Ben texted back. He said, yes, they are transition contact lenses.
Oh, boy.
So they turn dark when you go outside, which he says his dad thinks makes him look creepy.
Well, yeah, if you come inside and you have black eyes, like the kind that they make vampires in movies.
They're just going to think you're goth.
They're going to be like, hello, Dad.
What do you think of my new contacts?
Whatever, Dad, you don't own me. It suddenly turns in. He suddenly turns into like this, like grumpy teenager. Why is Karl Malone talking about this?
You're having all kinds of issues tonight, Alex.
I don't know if it's me or if it's you.
Why? How could it possibly be me?
I'm gonna go ahead and. No one knows if it's you or not. That's what I'm saying. We don't know.
How would it be me?
We need to do a post show look into what happened.
All I have is this microphone.
I've got a review board that's going to come in. And it's an independent board that's going to look and see what happened.
All right. Suspend me with pay?
We'll take our last break here, and we'll come back. We'll still read some of these first world problems when we come back.
But also, what did you learn today?
Plus, what did you learn? Plus, Ethan's got his end headline, something to make you finish the day happy. Stay with us. The Nightside Project, final segment of the week. Stay with us.
Nightside. Nightside. We're all friends here. The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
All right, final segment of the Nightside Project tonight. What did you learn on the show? Text us at 575-00. We'd love to hear from you. What did you learn tonight on the Nightside Project? Let's hear it. Get those texts coming in. I've also got a great Zen headline. So, Alex, where do you want to start? Let's start with a first world problem. Not a first world problem. Let's start with a what did you learn? We got one in. We got some music or something, right?
Well, but that's what I'm asking. If we're going to read some first world problems still, then what do we do? That's fine. It's the end of the show. We got it.
Yeah, we've been playing this song. This is the music we play, and then I just do the Zen headline with it. We haven't been really using the Zen headlines music that we did during the podcast.
No, it's because I hate it. That's That's actually the truth. No, this we've replaced it with this. This was the original end of the show feel good music, though.
Yeah.
I think going back to this is classic.
All right, this one's from Bright Star. I learned that moldy cheese in my fridge could be a money maker. Yes, it could. A new kind of dairy product. A new kind of cheese. One of the coolest things I learned is that there are taste buds in the intestines, but fortunately, they do not taste consciously. Where did you learn that?
What? Consciously? What are you talking about?
We didn't talk. Did you talk about taste buds in the intestines?
Different show.
He must have been listening to a different radio program.
Yeah.
Or that's just something that he learned on his own. So that's fine.
Yeah,
I
got Wikipedia open at the same time I listen to you guys. It's fine.
I learned that transition contact lenses exist, which seems like a super sci-fi thing to me. That's from Daniel.
Okay.
And you know what? That's maybe something for teen goths. Take those contacts out. Gosh, Dad, they're transition lenses.
The thing is, when you show up and you've got like that buckle,
transition lenses. You've been inside for 4 hours.
When he's got that spiked collar, and he's like, "These are just transition lenses, Dad," but he's got the spiked collar, and then Chica's got real problems. She's like, he's turned into some sort of a weird late '90s goth. There you go. It's fine. He's like, it all starts with the transition lenses.
Yep. It's just you don't know where your kids are going to go after that. You don't know where. All right. You ready for this Zen headline?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Let me pull it up here. I actually have it here. Michael Jordan in the news, stepping up to the plate. We talked earlier about these athletes and kind of the role that they can play because they're people that everyone rallies around. Right, and that everyone looks to, and that everyone likes.
Yeah.
So they maybe there's a role that they could play here. Michael Jackson. 3, 2, 1.
Got
Michael
it.
Jordan.
Got it.
Michael Jordan certainly stepping up to the plate in that regard. Michael Jordan and Jordan Brand, which I guess is his company, will be donating $100 million over the next 10 years to organizations fighting racial injustice. That statement was put out just this afternoon. They are looking to make a real effort, looking to really put a lot of money into this, and they're going to target where they think it's going to be the most effective and do the most good.
Look, all the money's good if it goes to the right cause, right?
Jordan said he was deeply saddened, truly pained, and plain angry, and that he says he has had enough of what he calls the ingrained racism in the United States.
Think about it, too. The real problem with donating that amount of money, like, because the Kraft company, you know, Robert Kraft's, you know, the Kraft Corporation, they're like, we're dedicating $1 million to this thing. And Jordan Brand's like, $100 million right now. And I know Kraft is, I'm not calling him out too much. What I'm saying is, to me, it seemed like other companies are bad that their $1 million donation is getting absolutely...
No coverage.
Trivialized by,
by Michael Jordan. Yeah.
$100 million. That's such a great deal.
Well, once again, Michael Jordan raises the bar. This is his thing, right? I mean, this is his thing. You thought you were good, then along comes Michael Jordan.
Right. No.
And you realize, well, oh, geez.
This is where Michael Jordan's competitive nature, like, really, really, really works out. It's awesome.
While the ink is still warm on this. Someone quick get $110 million out there.
Sure.
See if we can ramp it up a little bit. All right. I learned that listening to you is better than facing the storm in Weber City. Thank you so much for that text. Hopefully it's not too terrible. I learned that Alex has renters that have dirty ears and bad flushing habits.
Not anymore.
Ethan needs a pool, and the downhill skiers weren't social distancing when I was at Maverick.
Yeah. What do you think the worst places are? Where are the biggest? And I'm not asking you to call out businesses. What I'm saying is that generally, where are you seeing people not care about this, the kind of just like general social distancing?
I don't know. My experience has been pretty limited. I've got a Smith's here by my house, and everyone stays cool there. Masks, pretty much. Of course, Costco. We've been to Costco, and that is, you know. They've got a real regimen in place there. And then, you know what? I would say that probably the place where people do the worst of social distancing is at the gas station that I go to. Because, you know, I only go to one gas station. And I like to go in now and I'll get a drink and I'll wear the mask. But it's a small area. So that's the place where I think I've seen the worst social distancing. Probably for me. I don't know. What have you seen?
I think that... I think the place that people care the least are, this is it. You ready? Home improvement stores.
No, you think so?
Yeah, I went in and got a valve for one of our toilets is running. You know, it's just going, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm
going
to go get it.
How far did it get?
Got pretty up the old stairs there. No, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to go in. So I go in and I grab the part that I need. Not a soul with a mask on, except for people who work there. And it's just It's just like I told you that was the place where the guy was blasting conservative radio super loud.
He had a radio.
It was 6 a.m.
in his cart.
I went super early, so I didn't have to like really see anybody. And this guy had like a Bluetooth speaker on his cart, and it was like the Chinese have done this to us. And I'm like, my goodness. Wearing his MAGA hat, and I was like, "Oh boy!"
Oh jeez!
I thought
he's
I was
out
gonna,
early. He's out
gonna,
early.
But you know what? No mask, and he was probably 70. And I was like,
"I don't know."
Come on,
man!
The
masks are such a simple way to make
sure, right?
that we get away with this. I don't understand the.
This one says, "I learned Alex gets, KSL pays Alex enough to have a cleaning lady." the benefit of my marriage is my wife also has a job, so. That's the only reason we're able to have the cleaning lady. With our powers combined, we have a cleaning lady. All right, we're taking a long break here. We'll be back on Monday. The Nightside Project says adieu. Ethan, we'll see you next week, buddy.
All right, man. Have a good one.
All right, we'll take a long break here. We'll be back on Monday. See you then, everybody. KSL's Unrivaled's next.
I'm Dave Cawley. investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.